All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew WK.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali App.
This is Nick from Chook Chook Chook.
What's up, guys? This is the Chainsmoker.
Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Bruner, formerly of the French Music Export Office in Paris, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
Welcome back to another episode of Sound Sessions. This is Kevin, as always, and I'm joined by Michael.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin?
Hey, Michael. So, you know, we're just a few weeks removed now from the really, really startling, heartbreaking attacks in Paris that really shook the world, and, you know, it really affected me just being an active concert goer and hearing about the Bataclan that day and hearing about all the events. I thought it was something we should definitely address.
Mm-hmm.
And you were lucky enough to be associated with John Bruner, who worked in the French Music Export Office in Paris, and we have him on the phone right now. Hey, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for, you know, making this happen.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I'd like to just get started. Mm-hmm. Kind of hearing, you know, like I just said, you worked in the French Music Export Office in Paris. Yeah, you're back here in Chicago now. Can you kind of just speak a little bit to what that was exactly, that title?
Yeah, so I was over at their headquarters in Paris. I handled their English communications, so helping out with press releases, anything coming out in English and video and creating videos. And that also included coordinating with the industry on their international music projects. So at any point in time, there's about 500 artists, groups, ensembles, orchestras that are active internationally coming out of France.
Okay, cool. And about how long ago were you out there?
It was about 2011 until 2013.
Oh, okay. So just a short bit ago. All right.
Yeah.
And you obviously still have a lot of connections out there from your work out there, correct?
Oh, correct. So our association helped out with, I was in touch with at least 160 professionals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you kind of just talk about your experience that day when the news started to break, what you were seeing on your social media and things like that, any connections that you still had out there?
Yeah, it was a little bizarre to tell the truth because we didn't really know what was going on at the time. So I was with my current coworkers who are mostly French people, and we just heard that there was an attack in Paris, and then it seemed to just continue to spiral kind of out of control. Mm-hmm. And then it was around Bastille, which is actually where the French Music Export Office is located and where I used to live as well.
Oh, wow.
And then it just expanded up towards Republique, which is a huge, famous square in Paris, and then it hit the Bataclan, which is basically all in the same neighborhood, pretty much. So, I mean, the Bataclan is like about not even a 10-minute walk from my old apartment, and then
wow.
Republique is about a 15-20-minute walk.
Wow.
So it's all really close.
That must be just so jarring to go through that kind of situation. Now, when you were living out there, you must have gone to the Bataclan a few times yourself, right?
Yeah, I one of the times I was there was for this Quebec artist called Cœur de Pirat, and she actually just had a recent album come out along with Mina Tyndall. So, and then the venue is basically in a quiet neighborhood, mm-hmm. between two squares, between Bastille and Republique. Very unassuming. It's just really ornately decorated. It kind of looks like an Asian venue out in front, and there's a restaurant nearby as well. So it's really just cozied in between apartment buildings and across from like a square that would also have like a children's park and things like that.
Jeez.
Wow.
Can you, you know, being in Chicago and having lived over there and been to the Bataclan, can you just, to make it even more relatable for us, could you kind of compare to what the Bataclan would, I mean, I'm picturing like the metro here and seeing, mm-hmm. seeing gunmen up on the balcony of the metro. That's just a terrifying thought. Is there like a relatable venue in Chicago here?
That's probably pretty close because Bataclan is about 1,500 people, and
okay.
It's been around for a long time, for about a century, actually. So it's relatively about that size.
Okay, geez, you know, it's bizarre because we were kind of just picturing it ourselves, like what it would be like to go to a show and then seeing a show at the Metro, which is a very small venue here in Chicago.
Well, very popular, you know?
Very popular. And then seeing this kind of just this tragedy happen, like in the midst of the, one of the best times of your life would just be heartbreaking.
Exactly. And it's definitely one of the most popular venues in the city. I mean, Bataclan is, it brings in people from all around the world to come and perform. And then it's along up on par with the rest of the venues in the city. So it's not unusual for that venue to sell out and for people always to be there.
Right. And that's what's really like to me that just the worst part of it all, it's people out here, they're out on their Friday night having a good time seeing a fun band, the Eagles of Death Metal. You know, you don't expect that. But at the same time, you think, well, and what I took from it is the reason that they chose this place because it was going to be a large gathering of people. It was easy to get in. And, you know, normally when you go to a concert, you don't see armed security, really.
Yeah. In Paris, you do see security, not really to our extent. I mean, it's not to... For an event, a large-scale event, I mean, they don't really have too much. They don't have the metal detectors, which kind of cause an issue with the Stade de France attack. But not nearly to the extent as we typically do. But, I mean, they do pat you down, for instance, when you're walking into music venues over there.
Well, and you said that, the news has reported as well, that the security guard actually lost his life during this attack.
Yeah.
So if you're going to the venue and you're there unarmed and everything and you see this kind of person approach, I mean, how do you even handle that? How do you stop something like this? And I think that's what's going on in a lot of these venues' minds. Like knowing the French industry, music industry, the way you do, where do you see maybe these venues taking some change in the way that they handle crowds now? Do you see it going in a more, more secure fashion, or do you think they're kind of just going to let it go the same way it had been going for years before?
It's tough to say. I think you'd see more serious measures in terms of patting people down, maybe checking bags more thoroughly. To actually put down metal detectors, I think that might be harder to implement, especially with some of the music venues, because also this is like the Metro, for instance. Mm-hmm. So imagine go walking into the Metro and having to pass through a metal detector. It's kind of strange, because nobody was really expecting something at Bataclan or Metro, or if it was like Minneapolis, like First Ave, that's just blew everyone's mind. But I think that some venues might implement metal detectors. I think larger scale ones will do that, and we'll just have to see.
So the way in which you work, you bring kind of promotion to French artists worldwide, is that correct?
Yeah, and we also helped out with linking people up with booking agents, concert promoters, festivals, basically doing a bit of business development behind the curtains, pretty much.
Now, this, especially for this kind of job, I mean, what would be that first meeting after you see some tragedy like this happen in France? I mean, what would be the way that you're going to be able to promote it in a positive light now?
It's tough to say, but everything that I was seeing overseas was our coworkers and colleagues and the industry was kind of just banding together, trying to make sense of this all.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they even have one of the support structures that's put in place is to like free therapy and things like that for people in the industry who either experienced it or their friends were, or the coworkers were. So they have that resource available to them, readily available, which is great. But the first meeting, I guess, was just shock, pure shock. Everything I read was that everyone was just quiet and in shock at what had happened, because it was unexpected, and it hit the entire industry. It hit record labels, it hit production companies, it hit booking agents, it hit other venues too, and it was completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
So I mean, there was three people who lost their lives from Mercury, Universal.
Ugh.
A person at another concert promoter was injured. It touched two other concert promoters as well. And then one of the other venues called the Merrill Kinnery, they lost their communications person. So, I mean, the person
wow.
at your local music venue who posted the website stuff, who arranged all those free ticket giveaways, they lost him to the attacks.
Senseless.
Yeah.
It's really heartbreaking to see that.
Somebody told me too that night I was talking to you, and it's really a true thought. You think 80 to 100 people lose their lives, that's 1,000 people affected. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's really,
oh, yeah.
really unfortunate. You know, a really cool, interesting thing that Eagles of Death Metal have done on their Facebook page, they set a status, you know, just letting everyone know that they're safe and all that, and then they address the fans, and the fans have kind of taken to this status to just share their experiences. Like, I can read one right here. They tried to kill me and my wife while dancing in front of our favorite band. Thankfully, they failed. We saw what no one should see. Our thoughts are with everyone who lost their lives and their relatives. The healing can now begin, and it all starts with listening to Eagles with Death Metal again. Pretty cool thing that they have done right there.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back with what the general sense is right now after the event, because everyone's in the shock mode, but everyone just knows that everyone's just picking each other up and reopening the music venues. I mean, even the director of the Bataclan actually said that he was going to reopen it.
I saw that.
Which is kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
When you think about it.
It's cool.
But
it's really
kind of
cool.
The mentality.
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's like at the same time, I think, man, a week or two ago, there were, unfortunately, 100 people died here.
Yeah, and that kind of just goes to the mentality. They realized relatively quickly that this was meant to scare people away from going out and mm-hmm. basically having fun
right.
and enjoying a normal life. I mean, I had friends that were over by Sharon, and they typically would be on that street, or they also visited. They also used to dine at the Petit Gamboge restaurant all the time because that was their neighborhood. My timeline was just filled with people just checking in, making sure everyone was okay, and then you're just freaking out over their safety check thing, because I was waiting on at least like 15, 18 people that didn't respond, and it was like
oh, wow.
midnight, and everyone was just like, holy crap. And then I had friends too calling me basically being like, have you heard from this so-and-so? And I was like, they're okay. They were at a different music venue that night. So it was weird.
Man.
It was really weird.
That's so bizarre, because the fact that you worked in the French music industry and just seeing this kind of stuff happen I could tell how much it could affect you. I could imagine how hard it must be.
Yeah, they're just gonna keep going.
Yeah,
that's all that they can do. That's basically, they can't sit down and let them win by keeping them from going to see concerts and things like that.
And that really seems like what you were just saying, that seems to be the spirit of the French people that I'm observing. And it's such a proud, vibrant city of like art and life, you know, and it doesn't seem like that's something that you could hold down, even if they tried.
Yeah, did you happen to see that Charlie Hebdo article, that cover that they put out with the guy who seemed to have bullet holes, and he was drinking wine, and the wine was coming out of him, and he said, fuck the terrorists.
I love that.
We've got wine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the mentality.
And that's strong. It speaks to that people, and it speaks to, you know, it's such a tight-knit group of people, especially here in Chicago with the music industry, and this just shows you how much music can really connect people together. And I think that this won't stop music, and I think that more power to the French people to get over this,
yeah.
this and not let those terrorists win.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you see messages on all of the other companies in Paris and in France, all across the boards, they've just put up messages of support. Basically, we can't wait to get started again. But even though some concerts were canceled, they're all being rescheduled.
Yep.
Even the government is behind it. I mean, their Minister of Culture and Communication announced also, or pledged also, to put 4 million euros to help support the industry.
Wow.
To bounce back from this. So anyone affected by all the concert cancellations, tickets that were refunded, all of that. So they already put forward some money to help them bounce back financially as well.
Did you happen to see the Vice article, or I'm sorry, interview with Eagles of Death Metal?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, and that was one of the things they kind of stressed too, was, you know, not if we return to the Bataclan, but when, you know, and you know that's going to be the hottest ticket in town that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly was thinking about that too, and just like, who can get into that, because that's going to be the most demanded concert ever.
Yeah, the way that the Eagles of Death Metal can just come and really just show what true metal is about. There's nothing more metal, in fact, that I might say than going back to that spot where such a tragedy happened and just rocking the heck out of that place.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, John, it was a fantastic moment to talk to you. We really appreciate you joining us today on the show. Do you have any words for the French people if they're out there listening, all your friends out there as well?
Well, just keep doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, you entertain everyone's everyday life, and just keep doing it. Everyone needs that.
Fantastic. John Bruner is joining us here on Sound Sessions. We wanted to thank you again for joining us today, and vive la France, because
and rock and roll.
John, thanks again.
You're welcome.
This is Sound Sessions, the voice of Chicago music.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.